Welcome back to our Holy Week Adventure. Today we are acknowledging the second and third days in the week, often described as Holy Monday and Holy Tuesday. Frequently, there are many things said about these days, but then again, there's often a blip on the radar of Jesus' Passion Week. On these days, however, there was so much teaching and a variety of activity that occurred. Our Gospels record in a couple of different ways that these are the days that Jesus cursed the fig tree, cleared the temple, went back to Bethany, teaching and debating religious leaders all along the way. His authority was challenged. All the while, radical plans were being made seemingly behind his back to arrest and kill him. Holy Monday and Tuesday were significant, and they were jam-packed with so many critical details in the life of Jesus. Today, I want to focus on one, or two, but one. It's kind of confusing, but I think you'll get my drift. Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 26, records the event of Jesus cursing a fig tree and explaining certain lessons that his followers were to learn from the bizarre occurrence. Yet in the middle of all of it, Jesus stops by the temple and drives out money changers and other marketers. This is what's known as a Markan sandwich. What exactly is a Markan sandwich, you might be asking? Well, it's a distinct aspect of the style in which Mark writes his gospel. Technically, it's known as interpretive intercalation. What this means is that Mark inserts one narrative episode of Jesus' life and ministry between two parts of another one. The two parts act like a literature bread, so to speak, and the insertion acts like the meat. Confusing, huh? Well, here's what it looks like today on Holy Monday. Mark 11, 12 through 14 says this. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. Now, Mark is not done talking about the fig tree. He picks up on Tuesday morning in verse 20 and says this, "As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered.' And Jesus answered them, 'Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand by praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father, who also is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses." Now, this was a vital lesson. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this event in some fashion. It is such a poignant episode that it has become quite controversial. There are many who have a problem with Jesus going to such drastic measures as killing a fig tree to make a point about faith, prayer, and producing fruit. I mean, isn't there a different way for Jesus to teach these lessons? Well, in fact, there is, and he did. This entire section reminds me of something I heard from author Philip Yancey, who said one time, "As I studied the life of Christ, one impression about Jesus struck me more forcefully than any other. We have tamed him. The Jesus I learned about as a child was sweet and inoffensive. The kind of person whose lap you'd want to climb on. Mr. Rogers with a beard. Indeed, Jesus did have qualities of gentleness and compassion that attracted little children. Mr. Rogers, however, he assuredly was not. Not even the Romans would have crucified Mr. Rogers." Did Jesus use drastic measures to prove his point? Sure. But then again, he used the drastic measures of the crucifixion to bring forgiveness, life, hope to all who would call on his name. Perhaps faith, prayer, forgiveness, and holiness are serious business with God, and we ought not be so flippant about our lives following after Christ. You see, I believe that's what Holy Monday and Tuesday are all about. These are the final days of Jesus, and he utilizes them to provide some of the most striking and significant teachings that has lasted several millennia. Okay, we are to take our faith seriously. Following Jesus will often mean we go to extreme measures to walk with him. But you said something about a sandwich earlier? Well, in between those two parts of our fig tree story, we have another incident that is inserted in the verses 15 through 18. It reads like this. "They came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And he was teaching them and saying to them, It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. The chief priests and the scribes heard it and were seeking a way to destroy him, for they feared him, because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. And then evening came, they went out of the city. So, our sandwich goes like this. Fig tree, temple incident, fig tree. But so what? What's the big deal about the way Mark records this? Why make a stink about the sandwich thing? Well, you see, the thing is that when Mark does this in the writing of his gospel, it means that the two occurrences in some way interpret or relate to one another. In other words, instead of asking why are we making such a big deal about sandwiches, we need to ask what the part about the fig tree and the temple event have to do with one another. I think the answer can be found in England's FSA, their Food Standards Agency. See, more than a decade ago, Great Britain's FSA closed a slaughterhouse and a processing plant after investigators found horse carcasses had been used to make beef burgers and kebabs and then sold them throughout Britain. Gross, I know, but it gets worse. Later, the Swedish furniture giant IKEA was drawn into the same predicament as it was discovered that they had used horse meat in frozen meatballs labeled as beef and pork, and they distributed these products in over 13 European countries. Not long after the great European horse meat scandal broke, Icelandic officials heard about horse meat getting into beef products, so they decided to run tests. Meat inspectors found no horse meat being used, but one brand of locally produced beef pie left inspectors stumped. Their beef pies contained no meat at all. Instead, it appeared to be some kind of vegetable product. The lead inspector said this, "That was the peculiar thing. It was labeled as beef pie, so it should be beef pie." See, Mark's sandwich teaching in Mark 11 teaches us a similar lesson. Sometimes we get so cozy with the teachings and ministry of Jesus that we slip into comfortable rhythms and trite living, when in fact Jesus is calling us to something far greater, and that is holiness. We can get frustrated with the fig tree story, which almost doesn't seem real. Why did Jesus kill the tree? Or we read of Jesus' response in the temple of turning tables and driving out those who take advantage of the less privileged and use it to justify our own anger. Now, when we do this, we miss the point of Holy Monday and Holy Tuesday lessons. And that is that Jesus is calling us to lead faithful lives. He didn't curse the fig tree because he hates nature. He showed us how we produce fruitful lives when we live faithfully to him. And he didn't turn tables over the temple to prove a point about righteous anger. Jesus was proving a point that his temple is a holy space. And later on, the Apostle Paul teaches that we, Jesus' followers, are in fact a temple. We are the holy space. When people look at our lives as followers of Christ, they will find that we're filled with Christ, or will they find something that's an unidentifiable substance that's not the real thing at all? Are we about the aesthetic fashion of Christianity, or are we about the real stuff, the meat of it all? Holy Monday and Holy Tuesday are critical for those who follow Jesus. I hope you take the time these days to consider what great lengths Jesus went so that we can have faithful and productive lives with him. Be sure to join us again on Wednesday as we continue to devote ourselves to Jesus during this Holy Week. I'll see you next time. Man, I'm kind of hungry. I think I'll get a sandwich now.